you know, this Raptors team is got not as much attention as it did in the playoffs. And last year, of course, with Kawhi Leonard, you know, we're back to the old, everybody doesn't believe in us and it's us against the world. And the Raptors just don't get any respect. And I'm not terribly surprised by that. When you lose one of the best players, if not the best player right now in the league, in Kawhi Leonard, you know, people are going to look past you and say, well, you know, without Kawhi, you're probably not going to be able to replicate what you did a season ago. And I think if you talk to most people, whether they cover the team, fans, nobody's expecting the Raptors to win a title again this year. We know how the NBA is a star-driven league, and without that one superstar, the Raptors are back to the Kyle Lowry, DeMar DeRozan days, where they're a very good team, but maybe not good enough to compete for a championship. But I think this year, the expectations for the Raptors are make the playoffs and just go as far as you can. If you can make it to an Eastern Conference final, wow, that's an incredible accomplishment to be able to do that without Kawhi Leonard. But I think anything beyond that is just getting to a point where it's a little unrealistic, as we just touched on.
I think it is a fair expectation for this team still to expect them to win a playoff round. I think that is still a fair expectation. Win two and you're in the Eastern Conference final, that is absolutely gravy. But I still think you have to, based on what's on this roster, consider yourself one of the four best teams in that conference. And if you think of yourself that way, you have to expect to at least win a round. So I think that you have to go in with that being the kind of floor for the expectations. Yes, get in, but also take care of business and advance to the second round.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you guys. I think there's the Bucks and the 76ers, who are based on their offseason rosters. And I would say the 76ers, even more so than the Bucks at this point, are the number one team in the East, right? But those two guys, they're the teams to beat. And, I mean, it's nice because the Raptors beat both of those teams last year, which, so, you know, you can't get much better than that. But for this season, it's probably those two teams. And then I dare say the Raptors and the Celtics are probably relatively uneven footing, right? I don't think it's – I know Kemba Walker's there now, but, you know, is Kemba Walker an upgrade over Kyrie Irving? I mean – you know,
but yes, right?
That's the thing, right? Like, in terms of chemistry, yes. In terms of skill, probably not, right? And I mean, it's probably the gap is probably smaller than you'd like to admit, because it's just Kyrie, I think, has been on higher profile teams and has done a little more in the spotlight than Kemba has. And of course, he also played in Charlotte for his career. So, I mean, like, how much spotlight are you really going to get there at the same time? So I think Kemba will shine in Boston, but at the same time, if that's really it, right? And they also lost Al Horford. If that's really it, I don't know. I feel like I can talk myself. I'm doing it right now. I think I'm talking myself into thinking that the Raptors could be the third best team in the Eastern Conference. I mean, we saw even the season before Kawhi that the Raptors won, 59 games, and yep, they were the number one seed. And yeah, that season ended suboptimally with the sweep at the hands of LeBron. But still, I think the Raptors stand a pretty good chance of being a top four, maybe even a top three seed come the playoffs.
Yeah, and while the Raptors did lose Kawhi Leonard, they lose Danny Green as well, who was a very integral piece in the championship last year, they still have a lot of the veteran guys that, you know, made up this team. And Marcus Gasol will get a full season of him. Hopefully he's well rested. He's been a busy man.
That was my concern with him. A year older and he was busy this summer.
Yeah. Busy drinking. That's for sure. Busy enjoying life.
Winning and drinking. What a great summer. Just win and drink.
So Marcus Gasol, at least over a full season, that'll be interesting to see how he fits in. And, you know, in recent years, we have seen him with the Memphis Grizzlies as a guy that can be I don't think he's a focal point on this team necessarily, but a guy that, you know, on a random night can go out and get you 20 points and 10 rebounds and still be a force. And, you know, if you look at what Serge Ibaka did last night, I know it's in a preseason game, but it looks like he's had the carryover as well. Serge Ibaka, the good Serge Ibaka, might be actually here to stay with the Toronto Raptors and not the one that we saw at times in the early parts of his Raptors career. But this team revolves around Pascal Siakam, and if he can take another step, that's how far this team can go. And so far in this preseason, I liked what I've seen. There's still going to be some ups and downs, I think, as he gets used to being that number one focal point, the number one option, and how he operates, you know, against double teams and being able to find open men on the court. But he's clearly a guy that has a ton of talent and is ready to take that next step. Kyle Lowry, of course, still a very productive player. I liked what I've seen from Fred VanVleet. OG Anunoby's looked really good in preseason, especially with his outside shot. So the returning guys that were on this team last year are still very, very solid, and we'll all be able to keep them in that conversation, like you said, Show, for, you know, a top three, top four spot in the Eastern Conference. Well, what I think may be able to separate them is if some of these, you know, secondary pieces that they've picked up can, you know, give them some solid value. And Nick Nurse the other day calling out guys like Rondae Hollis-Jefferson and Stanley Johnson for their effort and not being able to get on the same page as everybody else so far in preseason. And, you know, maybe that's just a little bit of coach speak and just trying to get light a fire under these players. But, you know, if some of those guys can be productive and give the Raptors something, then that will give them a chance come the playoffs. And maybe one of those guys you're just hoping as a dart throw can, you know, become something. And if that happens, then maybe we are even being a little bit lower on this Raptors team, because they do have a lot of young guys that still have a lot of potential. And if some of those guys can take a Siakam-esque leap like we saw Siakam do last year, then, you know, maybe they can actually go a little bit further.
It's not remotely fair to ask this of him, but the thing that can change the Raptors kind of ceiling on their outlook for the year is OG Anunoby. He had a year from hell last year on and off the court. It didn't click for him. He had personal troubles off of it. He had the appendectomy in the finals, which should have been the greatest moment of his career, and he was sidelined for so much of it. It was a brutal, nightmarish year for him. If he can take even a third or a half of the leap that Siakam took last year, it completely changes the outlook. Another thing is Fred VanVleet. You know, he was nails throughout the entire playoff run. Basically, once Fred Jr. showed up, Fred Sr. really started to shine as well. If he can be, again, he's not going to be that player, but if he can be something approaching it over the length of a full season, then you start to see, okay, Lowry doesn't drop off because of age. Same goes for Gasol. Same goes for Ibaka. Then you can start to see how they could challenge some of those upper teams. I still think it's a lot to ask, especially for the top two teams in the conference. There's no reason they can't be better than the Celtics if those other things happen.
It's funny you mentioned Fred VanVleet, because, you know, it kind of makes me wonder, especially on Tuesday, specifically against the Pelicans. You know, the Pelicans have rolled out Lonzo and Drew Holiday in spurts during the preseason. And, you know, we there's a big question mark of, you know, who starts at shooting guard and, you know, who will be filling that spot. And while I do expect Norm Powell to get the bulk of shooting guard minutes over the course of the season, at least the start, right? He'll be like the guy in the starting lineup. I kind of wonder if we might not see, based on both Fred VanVleet looking good, Kyle Lowry getting a little bit older, but still being able to maximize the guys around him, and then also on Tuesday specifically, Ball and Holiday being the two guys in the backcourt. And I wonder if we see on Tuesday Fred VanVleet and Kyle start at the one and the two. You know what I mean? I think that could be, at least for now, that could be what happens. And then for the most part, in like the other whatever 81 games, you see Norm, you know, get the start at shooting guard.
Well, and I think what opens that up is Gasol's passing ability. Because if you can have him, you know, I know he was starting last year, but if you can kind of stagger the minutes so that you have Gasol on the floor when Lowry and VanVleet, or have Gasol off the floor when Lowry and VanVleet are kind of running together, then you still have a facilitator type who can kind of act, you know, kind of, that you can run the offense through. That's always been my concern with playing Lowry and VanVleet together, is there's not a lot of other people that you trust running the offense, but Gasol kind of opens up, even if you can just steal kind of 7 or 8 minutes at a time.
Yeah.